You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace podcast. My co-host is Bob Hassan, and we are creating a conversation with Christian marketplace leaders who have careers that have been impacted by their faith.
We are also answering your questions about entrepreneurship, business leadership, careers, and how the kingdom of God changes your impact in the marketplace.
Come join the conversation now.
Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic. I'm Bob Hassan, and I'm with my friend Sean Bowles.
I'm so glad to be here. And today we have one of your friends, which is Wes Kotis. And I want to tell you a little bit about him because we're going to be talking about financial management today and wealth building, which I think is such a cool theme that that's a role you can play for other people. But he's the founder and the CEO of Kotis Wealth Professionals, and he brings 22 years of financial planning and investment management experience to the firm. He's also acting as a senior portfolio manager and senior wealth advisor. Wes is intricately involved in the day-to-day business, managing investments, models, and conducting research utilizing a highly disciplined rule-based process. And before this, he worked with his wife, him and his wife planted this, Sarah planted this. He spent over a decade in two major investment firms, receiving many awards for his tenure there. So, I mean, his bio goes on and on. It's amazing the contribution locally to his community that he's made. He's been on the board of many organizations, many charities. He's awesome. And I love that you're introducing him to me. I get to meet him for the first time today because this is the kind of guy we want to talk to. Like, what is he seeing in the wealth building world?
You know, and the cool thing is he's working with his wife. His wife is his CFO, which means she controls the money. How cool is that?
That's what happens in my world.
Mine too.
Literally, my wife is basically our CFO. But at the same time, she just has this gift too, which is really fun when you can partner to your spouse. Yeah. Not everybody can do that or wants to do that, but both the three of us, I guess, we want to do that. I think it's interesting because, you know, I didn't grow up with wealthy parents. My dad was a colonel in the Air Force, and he wasn't an investor at all. So he had his income he brought in. It was a good income. And then Cherie also, she grew up and her dad was a truck driver and you know, worked in a ranch and that kind of thing. And so we didn't come from wealth. I had some people train me who were wealthy when I was really young and walk me through a different mindset, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that like a lot of Christians, when they're trying to figure out that mindset, that they're trying to make that leap from maybe a poverty background or a lower income background or a middle to lower middle class background, they're trying to get to another level. A lot of times the enemy tries to prey on them with good things that even have prophetic words about them, that it might be an investment scheme or it might be a currency trade or it might be something digital or something to get involved with that doesn't have a lot of credibility behind it. Why do you think Christians are so susceptible to that?
Well, I think there's this word called legacy that doesn't, because our church environment is relatively new in the charismatic movement and some of the other movements. And so legacy isn't a word that the church really talks about.
Yeah.
And I think people are susceptible because they want, and I'm going to say this, but this is not what I mean, a get rich quick scheme. In this society where...
It's true. We want to steward it in our lifetime. We want to steward all of it as best as we can.
Right.
So why am I not rich yet? It is true. Yeah.
Why am I not rich by the time I'm 30? Because everyone else on social media is, you know, why does McDonald's take so long to go through the drive-thru, even though it took 4 minutes? I mean, we're in this society that's so expecting things so quickly. And the tried and true examples of hard work, determination, investing in good, stable companies that put a good, stable return out year after year isn't sexy.
Yeah.
And I think our young people, people who are in business or who are trying to make something happen right now, rather than looking at 20, 30, 40, 50 years for legacy to take over. And Sean, you know about compounding interest, you know about equity building, you know about these things that over time happen.
Well, it's interesting though, because like I think we live in a day and age, like somebody sent me a currency I should invest into last week. And I get online and I just Google it. And Forbes says, one of the scams of this particular country is that four people work with the Minister of Finance to falsely evaluate their currency. They've all been put in jail, but there's still people falling for it. And these five places you can trade it, but it's all not real. So I look it up in 2 minutes. I find out the whole thing's a scam. Yet this person who's sent it to me says, this is the surest way to make millions of dollars right now, that it's a secret way or whatever. And I'm like, I feel it's weird because 20 years ago when I had friends who fell into Ponzi scams and stuff, because of even prophetic words, they didn't have that research ability. They didn't have access to people. Like I can go on LinkedIn and find five financial investors and just tell them, what do you think about this? And they'll all tell me right away, this is fake or this doesn't work or this is why it's not good. But people don't use those resources when they're making huge financial decisions a lot of times. Now I'm only talking about a small percentage of people, but I feel like we talk about hearing God's voice in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times people who hear from God's voice in the marketplace are expecting a get rich strategy. And so I do want to warn listeners that hearing from God isn't a bypassing a process. God loves the process, and hearing from God doesn't equal wealth. They're like a huge abundance of, you know, millions of dollars. It's still only a percentage of people will ever become wealthy in that measure of wealth. And so sometimes people get a wrong idea of like, if I hear from God, this is my result for sure. And so I will take a faith risk in this. You know, it's almost like some wrong multi-level marketing or some wrong timeshare process versus actually invest long-term in real estate or real whatever. It's just really interesting to me how we got caught up so easily because of one person's opinion that's not even trained.
Yeah. And I think that's why this interview with Wes is going to be so important, because we're going to hear somebody who loves Jesus, who's on his face before the Lord, who has built a business from the ground up, and who is immersed in investing.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Wes is coming up next. And if you have a family member who's involved, or if you've been involved with something that just didn't pay off and you were believing prophetically, press reset, believe that God can redeem and restore. Go after things that have actual credibility to them, because credible things, God's put on the earth credible things, incredible people building them. So look for that and use wisdom, use real wisdom, use godly wisdom, and also the pure, you know, crowdsourced wisdom around you, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of schemes right now. There's fresh types of Ponzi schemes. And I just want to encourage our listeners, do your due diligence and research, because you do not want to give to something that you're going to lose, and you want to give to something that builds legacy. And that's very important. So thank you so much. Wes is coming up next. Do you want to be mentored in hearing God's voice? It's not hard, but it takes time, examples, practice, and conversations to really get in the place of being able to get revelation and also to know how to interpret and apply what God's showing you. I have started an online community through our platform, Transcend God Mentoring, where you'll receive weekly videos, weekly live group mentoring, monthly special events, and all of our past e-courses on the gifts, marriage, and relevant topics to your spiritual journey. Come join me and all my platform contributors to learn how to walk out a thriving journey of hearing God. Welcome back to Exploring the Marketplace with Sean and Bob. Hey, Bob, we have on today Wes Kotis. And Wes, you're a financial planner and you help people to actually make a lot of money. That's a lot of fun. And it hasn't always been that easy, I'm sure.
No.
But the kingdom journey that we're about to talk to you about, I'm so excited about it.
Thank you. I am too.
Well, Wes, great to have you here. Let's go back. Let's go back when you first started your business. I know you had a career before the business, but you started a business, and was it easy? I mean, did you work like 5 hours a month, or how did it work?
That was a very leading question.
Yeah. You know, when this whole process has been fun, because it's caused me to think about kind of the length and the depth of my career. And in the beginning, getting into an investment management or a wealth management business, as young as I did, I was in my early 20s. It's all I've ever done. And I didn't have, you know, you're trying to set out to be a wealth manager, but don't know anybody with any wealth, you know.
Yeah.
So just, you know, was with a early on with a larger firm, and I hit the streets. I'd go knock on doors. I knocked on thousands of doors.
And she took the real easy route.
Not a very efficient business plan, but I would do that, knock on doors in a suit, get to know people, let them know I was opening up this office, and asking, you know, I would ask for help. I found that a lot of folks, especially with resources, and maybe have built something on their own, they appreciate and want to help. And so I wasn't trying to sell anything at their door. I would just, you know, say, trust isn't built in a day, but here I am. This is what I'm doing.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Could I contact you from time to time? And that's kind of how we got started early on.
Wow, that's incredible.
I love, especially in today's day and age, when texting is the knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And, you know, email is one step more. And, you know, when we grew up in business, knocking on doors was the way to go. Talk to our listeners, our younger listeners, about, like, in this society or business climate now where it really isn't relational, how do you continue to build relationships?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. It's very different now because you can't even, it's not even legal with do not call lists and things like that to do some of what I did 22 years ago. You know, and the face to everything I did was built on looking somebody in the eye and beginning to build trust and relationship that way. Today I have a full-time employee who works on reaching out to people digitally and helping people think that they find us, or in some ways they do find us. And I think maybe that's different now, but back in the day, it was not efficient. You were not reaching out to the masses. It was one person at a time, building one relationship at a time. And to your first question, Bob, it was 80, 90 hours a week for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I want to ask about just how this started, because you grew up kind of, it sounds like in a Christian home. And I was reading some of your bio, and one of my contemporary friends, Larry Randolph, ended up having an impact on your life. He's a prophetic guy who was around, especially during kind of an awakening of the charismatic gifts in 89, 90, 91. Those were kind of some glory years for Larry, although he's still very relevant today in Nashville, Tennessee. Tell me about some of that awakening from going from, like, I'm going to do a career in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think I was in eighth grade, and Larry Randolph came to our small church in Valparaiso, Indiana, and we were at Vineyard at the time, and some of those guys were just part of that circuit. Things were just, you know, we were packing the house, and it had to be early 90s. It had to be right during that period, late 80s, early 90s. And he pointed me out, and I had a Michigan sweatshirt on at the time, and he said, "Stand up, Michigan sweatshirt guy." And I was, you know, as an eighth grader, he just started to speak over me on just the entrepreneurial skills that God had placed in me. And he began to, he called me. He said, I am an investment. God's making an investment in me, and you're going to be in the investment business. And he kind of got into some more of the detail going down that line. Then he went on and proceeded to prophesy about water and that people should be getting in the water business. And when you think about the timing of that, he probably, you know, I've never forgotten that. And I've kept track of that segment of the marketplace because of that word. And I mean, if anybody would have, not that you run right out and invest in water, but There was a lot packed in about a 5 minute period there with Larry.
No, I love that, because a lot of times people think if you get a prophetic word like that, that's so directive, and it is what you're doing now. It makes it so much easier. And it does help one aspect of it, which is the discovery process was helped that day. But then there's the walking it out, because then you have a very clear direction and you're in middle school. I mean, that's like you're a baby in some ways. And all of a sudden you're dreaming these big dreams with God, but you're in a small town, like you mentioned earlier, where you didn't know anybody of wealth. So talk about just after that initial, like once you started knocking on those doors, and when was the first time you really saw God break through for your career?
Wow. I would say God broke through every day. I mean, even just helping me park the car and get out, you know, when you go to knock on, it's such a humbling experience. And I would have days where I'd drive around these neighborhoods and I couldn't find the right place to park. There was no perfect spot. It was just all fear going on, just anxiety over not wanting to get out of the car. So there's moments where I just had to have the peace of the Lord come over me to park that car, get out, and try to have 25. I was trying to have 25 meaningful conversations a day.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was a lot. And if, you know, I always say, if you've never had 25 conversations in a day, try it, especially the same one over and over again with different people. And so I think what Larry did for me was he gave me this vision on the horizon, but the valleys, the highs and the lows for the first, people told me in this business, I'd be overworked and underpaid for the first 5 years. And I think for me, that was probably 10.
Wow. That's awesome.
I liked it. I really felt like I was helping people. We were trying to do a good job. There's bad actors in any industry. And I knew that my heart was good. I knew I wanted to help folks. And that kind of led us into, I went from trying to have this volume oriented business to really focusing on who do I want to have as clients and how can I help them and ask the Lord how I should do business. Cause I became one of the fastest growing offices with a big brokerage firm in the country, even in our small town. And we had a lot of accolades but I had a moment where I didn't recognize a woman in the grocery store and I managed all of her money. And she said, "Hi, Wes, how you doing?" And it hit me. This was in 2000. This is the beginning of 2007. It hit me like, this is not who I am. I was at that point, I had got caught up. I got caught up in the growth and the accolades. And so I'm opening 130 accounts a month. And this big firm is going, you're our guy, you know? And so in 2007, as things were at their finest, the Lord spoke to my wife and I, who's our CFO, and we love working together. We've done that since 2007. But we started this company and said, fewer clients, larger wealth. We now take on 10 or 12 clients a year. I lay on my face and I pray for who God would want us to work with. And if I could, I just had a story pop in my head, if I could share it.
Tell us,
please.
We went from knocking on doors, trying to get as many people as we could to this new business model. And at that point, I always had 90 people who I would pray that I thought they would be ideal clients for us. Some I knew, some I didn't know, some were celebrities, some were business moguls, but they were on my heart for some reason. And God over the years has been so faithful. I literally was praying for this one gentleman that he would become a client. He found us. He's a business person that most people in business would know who he is. And he wanted to come meet us in our office. And so I met him and I'm sitting here going, Lord, this is such an answer to prayer. I mean, this is blow your mind. So like when I told my wife that he had called us and set up a meeting, she was like, it's still working. You know, I mean, this stuff is amazing. And we're so thankful. And when we sat down this meeting, it immediately had a different feel than what I thought. And so he came in and he's like, I'll start you with this. And and I want you to manage this money that I just, you know, he had liquidated an entity and was, you know, we're going to start here and then it's going to go from there. But this is what I want from you. He kind of shifted this thing really quick. And just as fast as I was thankful and excited that the Lord answered this prayer, I knew the Lord told me in almost not audibly, but very clearly, the Lord said, you're not for sale.
Wow.
You're not for sale and you'll never be for sale. And then all from that, my lens shifted, like the way I saw this man, great guy, don't get me wrong, amazing businessman, but I knew I wasn't supposed to work with him. Mm-hmm. And I think it had to do with control. This guy probably, you know, it's like when sometimes when people hire you, they think they own you.
And, yeah, for sure.
And that was like you know, I just went off on my own. I had taken all this risk and it's like, man, this is a whale, right? This guy's going to help catapult you into, and the Lord said, no. And I say that to say, sometimes God can answer prayers, but he's still speaking.
Yes.
And he was still speaking through that. And I'm thankful that I wasn't so arrogant that I didn't listen.
You know, that's one of the hardest things I've learned in business is to say no. But, you know, it kind of leads.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
Me into my next question is, you seem like you're not compartmentalized, like you're the same guy at home, at church, at work, and the fact that you're not separated allowed you to hear the Lord when you thought you were getting this amazing answer to prayer and he was just showing you something about his character. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, being non-compartmentalized?
I have a desire to be authentic. And, you know, being in the trust, I feel like we're in the trust business. And if, you know, I even have a hard time. I used to have a business coach who would tell me, you know, have your average car and then have your nice car and then know which one to drive and which instances. And he would tell me things like, you know, and he was a good coach, but it was very surface. So, you know, when you go out to breakfast on Saturday morning, don't, you know, you don't get to wear sweats. Like, you know what business you're in. You know, you get dressed, you look nice. And I tried to listen to some of that stuff early on, but it doesn't work for me. I want people to know who I am. I want people to know that I can wear a tie or not wear a tie. I'm going to drive the car I want to drive. It's kind of that, you know, I'm not out here to impress or not impress, because when you're dealing with people, some people want you to not have more money than them. Some people, you know, when they're trying to decide if they're going to work with us, they want you to have less money than some people. Yeah. Only will work with you if you have more than them. And
right, sure.
So I just tried to give the appearance of this is who we are. This is how we live. And the other reason I can't compartmentalize is because I work with my wife, who's my best friend.
I was going to say that changes everything right there. I do the same. So I understand.
And if I was going to fake it, she would just slap me across the face. I mean,
that's amazing. Well, I kind of want to dovetail on that with your wife. You know, working together and starting this company together, did she have a background as a CFO? Is that like what she was doing, or is this something that like she took on because God was putting you in this direction?
When I left the big firm, she has an accountant degree. She's an accountant by degree. She was an auditor for the state of Indiana. She does have a financial background, and she has even though she's an accountant, she has, I say, even though, you know, sometimes accountants don't have the personality or the desire to kind of be with people as much. She's one. Together, we enjoy working with people and helping them. And, you know, she could really be a CFO at a small, mid-sized company anywhere, mm-hmm. but we've enjoyed doing it together.
That's awesome. Well, I would love to hear, is there any other moments that you would talk about? I love everything you've been sharing so far, because it's exactly what our audience, I think God picked you for audience. It's exactly what our audience needs. Yeah. But is there any other kind of one of those moments in time stories where God showed up or did something that really pushed you forward?
Very recently, I've been praying down two paths. One, I want to work more. We do a lot of work with multi-generational business owners.
Oh, wow.
And so we're working, you know, with children and grandchildren of folks who started these amazing, you know, they all have their amazing stories. I had just recently been praying that we would get more involved in the endowment world, because we have some investment strategies that work very well for endowments that are thinking about the next 50 to 100 years, not just the next 20 years. And so similar to this, you know, where I was just praying for more of an opportunity to work with those folks. And it's funny, a personal financial advisor for this family reached out to me and asked if I would consider running the endowment. They felt it was a conflict for him to run the endowment, because he was also on a board level, you know. And so my competition basically referred me to this family.
That's wild.
And it was humbling, and I was very thankful. And that I'm sitting with this gentleman who comes with a lot of authority, and he's doing great things all over the world. And I was a bit nervous, to say the least, but to be showered with, you know, he's like, if you're, you know, this gentleman thinks this highly of you, tell me about yourself. And we have this conversation, and we just bonded immediately. And
wow.
He sends me texts. I'm so thankful that you're on the team, you know, and sometimes this business can be a bit of a thankless business. You know, you made me money. Great. Make me more, you know, or you lost me money. That's no good. But it's been a very satisfying, I guess, relationship that's just being begun. And another one of those, it wouldn't have happened unless my competition thought highly enough of me, I guess.
That's awesome.
And our firm. So it's not maybe a fireworks moment, but it was a meaningful moment for our firm.
And those are the kind of moments that Bob and I cherish hearing about, because, yes. You know, if we're in a church and you hear the testimonies of the church, you might hear about somebody getting healed of cancer. You might hear about somebody having, you know, something happen in their prayer group or whatever, but you don't always hear these kinds of stories. And 99% of people are in the marketplace, have careers. And for them to hear you talk about the help God gave you to have favor with the, you know, your competition, I think it's such a highlighted example of the kind of story that we need to put on display, that when you walk with God, there's a difference. When you walk with God, there, he adds his value to your life, and it actually has practical, you know, usefulness, which is so beautiful. I love hearing your stories. I know you have so many more. Bob, where else do you want to go before we got to wrap up our time here? But this is so good.
Yeah. Well, as you've grown more and more successful, and I understand it's a process, mm-hmm. have you felt isolation as a CEO of a bigger company? And what does that look like to you? And how do you combat it?
Yeah, boy, this one hits home. Yes, as you climb whatever the ladder is that you're climbing in the field that you're in, I have found that it can get lonely, especially from an encouragement standpoint. People begin to stop encouraging you. And I had a mentor, a friend. He was in his 60s. He left us way too early due to brain cancer.
Wow.
He was in my office at 6 a.m. when the market was crashing in 2008 and 2009. He called the bottom of the market. I have it framed. He put his initials. He called the intraday bottom of the market on March 9th, 2009, which is my wedding anniversary as well. I'll never forget that day. So here I'm living through maybe one of the most stressful moments in our field. And I have this encourager, this friend, this guy who understands what I'm going through. So he passes away, and he had been with me. He helped us, you know, make the decision to go off on our own. I mean, he was there like a father. And I have a great dad who is an encourager as well. But this guy really encouraged me to take risk. And then he was there with me through it, you know. I knew what I had, but you don't know how much you're going to miss it until you lose somebody like that. And I even went to a couple guys that you both know very well and asked them, will you please mentor me? You know, like I knew I had this hole in my heart and in my life, and I was trying to just replace it. And those kind of relationships, they can't be forced and they can't be faked. They're built over time. And that did cause me, I have, and I still do today, go through bouts of loneliness. If you do complain, nobody cares. It's like, well, look at you, look at what you've built, look at what you have. And it's like, but you still have these same emotions. You have these holes in your heart. You have trauma that you've dealt with in life over the years. And yes, it can be very lonely. Even just being asked to be a part of this it encouraged my heart, you know. Other people, they want to hear you, they want to know and encourage. So
yeah, Wes, I think this is the thing that I love so much about you, is how humble you are. And you know, Sean and I and some of our other friends are all covenant people, and you know, we're striving to find these covenant relationships that just take time to cultivate. And when you get them, you're like, oh my gosh, this is special. And
yes.
And not that God could ever replace this man in the season that he had in your life, but I know that he has this whole favor and destiny coming for you with other relationships on both sides that can help and encourage you, and you can help and encourage others, just like you're doing now to our listeners.
It's so funny, Wes. This is like a prophetic moment, which we don't normally do on the show. Mm-hmm. But I had this guy in my life named David Dreiling, who was my mentor, my friend, my brother, sometimes dadded me, all kinds of stuff. And it was when I first started the prophetic, but he was also a businessman. So he was like getting me to invest in real estate and commodities and all kinds of stuff. And so we were never just doing, you know, ministry. He was a travel agent. He was a real estate agent. He was a broker. He was like all kinds of things. I learned so much. He was a New York Jew, you know, a Dreiling, yeah, Oppenheimer. Absolutely. And you hear that in it, right? And he didn't fit very well in the Midwest because of that, but I loved him. And we traveled the world together. It was really a unique relationship. And that relationship, actually, when it went away, because he passed away of cancer, when it went away, and I kept seeing him, and while you were talking before Bob asked this question, what was cool is that like someone like Bob comes into my life, and that relationship trained me on how to relate to Bob and actually get deeper with Bob than I had the opportunity to go with David. Although David in heaven will be one of my covenant eternal friends that, you know, hopefully is seated right next to me. I love him. But it's cool, like when you get another relationship that's not the replacement, but those relationships train you for someone else. And what I see with Bob is that some of the relationships he had with some of the men who passed away over the last few years of his life who were older, Bob's become them to people like me. And then I'm learning how to become like a Bob or a David to people who are, you know, it's just really cool, the transference of these relationships, not only train you. But the prophetic moment for you is this. That was just kind of story narrative. But I really feel, Wes, that God is about to raise up. I saw up and down. So it means people who are older. I saw two men who were older and several men who were younger. They happen to be men. It doesn't have to be men, but it happened to be men in the picture. And I feel like you're about to enter into the greatest relational fulfillment you've ever had. I feel like it's for you and your wife, but I just saw that over you. Like right when we first started talking to you, I'm like, this is a relational guy who's been on an island of building. And that island of building has actually produced a lot of resource, but the story behind it is even bigger. And that's going to create context to have these other relationships that are actually not maybe all more local, but they're relationships that are so key and important. So I'm super excited for you because I get to prophesy to you on our show relational fulfillment like you've never had, and that God's created in this man who passed away is a picture of more, a multiplied effect that's going to be coming, because both you'll be like him, but you also receive more like him, which is really good. So I hope that's helpful. I hope that's
so good. Encourages you.
Yeah.
Very encouraging. I received that. Thank you, Sean.
Well, we have had a great time talking to you, Wes. We love your stories. We love your heart. How can people get a hold of your organization if they would want to? What is your website?
Our website is CotysWealthPro.com. And that's KotysWealthPro.com.
I could just see, Bob, all these young entrepreneurs going, yeah. I hope he's on his face praying for me. I hope I'm the one who gets you.
I know. It's so good. Wes, thanks so much. And next, questions with Sean and Bob.
Everything we're doing with our podcast is made possible by our incredible partners and financial contributors to our ministry. They are helping us to bring the equipment, to upgrade everything we're doing, to have the time and space to do this. It's a free offering we give to you. Maybe you're listening in your shower, maybe you're listening in your car, your workout. Well, I want to continue to do this. I want to continue to have these incredible guests tell their prophetic process of how God's spoken to them so you can get a vision of how God speaks to you, and also so that other people all around the world can have this resource at their fingertips, from their smart device, their computer, their YouTube, whatever they have, that they will have this incredible resource. So go on the partnership journey with us. As a partner, you're going to receive an email and communication every month from us. We resource you with a partnership page that has literally dozens and dozens of messages that only of our partners have. We also have partnership contribution back to you, where we actually give resources. You guys get stuff first. Usually at Christmas time, we have a new book come out. You guys get it before everybody else and you get it signed. I love our partnership program. I love being on the journey with our partners because they are some of our, they're a team, they're our family. They're the ones who are contributing to make this happen. Come be a partner today. Go to bowlsministries.com under giving and membership and you will become a partner.
Welcome back with questions with Sean and Bob. And we have a great one from Lizzie. This is awesome, Bob, because she runs an Etsy store. Let's listen to this.
Okay.
Hey, Sean and Bob. My name is Lizzie Smiley. I love you guys. I run a full-time Etsy shop and a pretty successful blog. And now I'm moving into the digital space, creating a platform that will help other people start to sell on Etsy and be able to have success with it. So my question is, I love helping believers with ideas and all of that, but I also love helping the average Joe who maybe has never been exposed to the kingdom before. And I'm very attracted to sort of the Chip and Joanna Gaines style, where they're a bit covert. They're not so out there with the message, but they're still sharing kingdom. And at the same time, I love to bring the prophetic in. So on my public profile, as I'm building this, what would you guys suggest in terms of like how loud I am about faith? Thanks, guys.
Sean, that's an amazing question. Tell us what you think.
You have me go first. Well, I mean, I'm in the space where I do a lot of faith-based stuff, but I'm also starting to work on mainstream stuff. And I just feel like there's a place for each thing. So like there's a conversation you could have with Christians who are going after the, you know, marketplace. And there's a conversation that's wider that doesn't include your Christianity as far as verbally, but it includes the principles and the culture of it, no matter what you're doing. And so I think you don't have to be confused about that. You can be as sometimes I know, what is it? St. Francis of Assisi, I preach Christ every day and sometimes I use words. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know if he really said that or not, but it's a great quote, which is use your faith in everything you do, but you don't have to feel a pressure to make everything about evangelism. Everything does have to be about God, but a lot of times things are about God is character, integrity, salesmanship, all those things, the way you handle your vendors, the way you handle your people, the way you handle the people who are buying. That's all how you show the love of God. And so I just feel like you don't have to have any pressure. You could be totally covert as far as there doesn't have to be an evangelistic mission on this. You can let that happen organically if that's how you feel. Or some people start a business to be evangelistic, but be deliberate about that ahead of time so you don't put pressure on yourself either way. You just do what you have, you know, you've decided to do. And I just think it'll be beautiful. And I love that you use Chip and Joanna Gaines because they're not compartmentalized. So we all know they're Christians, but they don't ever harass anybody with their Christianity who wouldn't be with somebody who would care about their Christianity. They want the experience of a designer, or they want the experience of a builder. And it's fine that they're Christians, but if they start to just do everything out of like, and it has to have the scripture on it, it has to have this thing on it, no one would watch anymore except for a very limited niche audience, which would be the faith-based. So I'm going to encourage you to be who you are. Don't be compartmentalized, but don't feel pressure to do something with your faith.
Oh, what a great answer, Sean. Lizzie, I love your question, and I'm so glad God's breathed on your Etsy business. And, you know, I'm in mainstream business. I'm a believer, but 99% of the time I'm dealing with people who aren't of, you know, faith. And so what I try to do is let my commitment and my character and my yes go before me. And, you know, over the years, we've had people say, we can't understand why your company is so different, or we can't understand why in the construction business, you're not yelling, screaming and cussing at us like everybody else does. And, you know, sometimes I'll say things like, well, I have faith, or I'm a believer, but not normally. Normally it is, I'm saying something like, I'm a service business and we want to be the best service company. And so I think people can see the faith in you. Like Sean said, the non-compartmentalization in you and the authentic you. So Sean and I both encourage you to be authentic and let your light shine before you.
And you will have people who come and they'll say, okay, what's the deal? Like the Queen of Sheba to Solomon, like, surely your God's real because he raised up a man like you and he loves his people. So you're going to have those moments, but you don't, you know, unless you feel like God's saying, create an evangelistic structure through a company where the whole goal is going to be that, then don't do it. Don't do it unless you hear it, unless you feel that that's your passion, because otherwise you're just going to have mixture the whole time. So I would just do what you have passion for. Thanks for being an Etsy influencer and a blogger and helping so many people. You're awesome, Lizzie.
Thanks for listening to the Exploring the Marketplace podcast, part of the Exploring podcast series.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or even rating and reviewing so that more people can connect to us. Also, we'd love to be part of your spiritual journey, and we have amazing resources at our website, www.bolzministries.com, BOLZ ministries.com, including other free media, TV shows, books, and even an ongoing mentoring online platform. See you there.